This is music from Mast. Welcome to The Checkout. It's also a podcast on iTunes and now Stitcher. Produced at WBGO. I'm Simon Rentner. Mast, aka Tim Conley, is a multi-instrumentalist who says his name came from his sailing trips with his parents growing up in Philadelphia. But now that the guitarist is grounded in the land of La L.A., boating is much less of a priority. His main focus is music. Sounds that can't easily be classified, what fits perfectly into our definition of the other side of jazz, a blend of that, rock, and electronica. And I should say, on stage, it's really quite a sight. His guitar hangs over his body while he plays a variety of keyboards and synth, and then manipulates all of those sounds live with his laptop. But on today's show, we don't talk about any of that. Instead, we investigate a very, very personal story of his about the time when he formed an intimate relationship with a heroin addict, how his life fell apart, the reconciliation, the forgiveness, and, in the end, the music. That's all coming your way with Mast, Tim Conley. Thanks for checking in. What you're listening to right now, Love's Metamorphosis Theme, performed by Tim Conley, also known as Mast, from his debut recording, Love and War. You could probably say that this guitarist and multi-instrumentalist plays well with others, whether it's with his hometown's 10-piece orchestra, the Fresh Cut Orchestra, or the multitude of special guests that are featured here on this recording. From L.A., where he currently resides, that's Taylor McFerrin, Koreatown Oddity, Josh Johnson, the saxophonist, Chicago's Micaiah McRaven, who's been on this program, the drummer. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Tim Conley to The Checkout to talk about this statement, his second release. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Really great to be here.
Why don't you start? How do you want to start talking about this record?
Well, I thought, you know, we would maybe analyze the different modes and scales and...
Yeah, right?
You know, maybe take some time and analytically just really nerd out and... No, I'm kidding.
I like that.
Yeah, well, at this new release, it's basically...
We're joking, by the way, ladies. If it wasn't clear, it was clear to me, but...
Totally joking, but the record is set up as a three-act play structure. So in this case, it's act one is love, act two being war, and act three is transcendence.
This story is really a tragedy.
Yeah, I suppose it's a tragedy, but there is a very bright light at the end of the tragedy.
Okay, so what is this story?
The story is loosely based on a very real thing that happened to me a couple years ago. Essentially, act one is love and is meeting someone new. And I guess I met her at a club in L.A. And, you know, we hit it off and got to know each other and, you know, started started kind of dating or seeing each other. And, you know, it was kind of an on and off thing for a couple years. And I guess in some of those, one of those off times, she had started using heroin. And unbeknownst to me, when we were on again, that addiction was still there. And I really had no idea. And I knew something was off, but I think that started becoming more and more clear that she was spiraling down.
Well, let's go to the meeting of you and her in the club. Mm-hmm. I'm sure this could be represented in the song Temptation, The Temptation, in Act One.
For me, I think metaphorically, temptation is both that. It's the temptation of like that meeting someone new. It's also the temptation of the addiction to her, tempting her, you know, from maybe another side. What I wanted to do with this record is have a lot of depth and angles that you could look at, you know, different tracks from. Some of it is from my perspective, some of it would be from her perspective or others on the, you know, on the record. So chasing the dragon is code for smoking heroin, which was what she was doing. So for that song, it's a pretty dark melodically. It's dark. It's heavy. It's very aggressive, and that features the Fresh Cut Orchestra. There's an impending level of doom in the song, and I think maybe. For me, it was just like, man, like, this is not right. Something is really wrong.
Was the moment, that moment, right, where you're like, what is going on here, and mm-hmm. what am I wrapped up in?
Right. The moment that I really knew is the moment I caught her, and that was really the end. That
wow.
was when, that was it.
You caught her, like, at home, or?
Yeah, we were at her house. You know, she was using in the bathroom, and, you know, one thing I had noticed was her going to the bathroom a lot, like, all the time. More than, you know, anyone who's not like a geriatric, like has some kind of like, you know, bathroom problem should be going to. You know, she had gone to the bathroom, came back out, and I was going to go, and she kind of stopped me and was like, wait a second, and looked and ran back in and was like, oh, never mind, everything's okay. I was like, okay, that was weird. So I went in, and, you know, she messed up. She left some stuff out, and I was just like, what is this, like, all this stuff. So, you know, I confronted her, and you know, and she just, I think that she, it's something that was she wanted had wanted to talk about for a very long time and just didn't have the nerve. Thank you.
the confrontation reflected in this work at all? Did you say sonically?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that piece, "She's Chasing the Dragon," embodies that absolutely.
Or the sorrow or the breakup, which follows, I would say.
If Chasing the Dragon is that intense moment of finding out that dark secret of hers, I think what followed is the sorrow, which happens on the record right after that.
Well, let's listen to the sorrow followed by the Night Drive featuring David Bowie's last bassist, Tim Lefebvre, and the saxophonist celebrated in L.A., Josh Johnson.
We'll be right back.
The Night Drive, Tim Conley, also known as Mast, from his second recording, Love and War. So are you on the Night Drive or is she on the Night Drive?
I looked at it as I was on the Night Drive. So it's after the breakup, you know, it's about just getting away from that situation, you know, getting in your car, and just
and people like to drive in LA, so
right,
that's a thing.
Yeah, it is a thing. So yeah, just getting in your car and just like just going,
you know, and you didn't know where you were going.
You don't know where you're going.
Where were you going? Where did you end up?
That comes later on in the story. But in that moment, you know, it's just of you just got to get away and just like let your brain process what just happened and just like, you know, just figure out, like, find some grounding, you know?
Were you hearing this music on your drive, driving away? Did this kind of, these ideas creep in?
I don't know if I was hearing a soundtrack in the moment. I think it might have been a post-production kind of a thing.
Okay.
Is how can I sonically, you know, recreate that feeling?
Got it. Cool. So on this drive, like, how long do you estimate that you were driving, and what small town or suburb of LA did you end up in?
In a metaphorical sense, you know, I went all the way out to, you
the
know,
cosmos.
The cosmos. And
you're like, who am I? What right. am I?
Uh-huh.
How did this happen?
Right. And, you know, filled up the gas tank and then came back to Earth when, you know, when I was ready.
Right on. Taylor McFerrin collaborates with Tim Conley on this recording. Why don't we just listen to it right now? This is The Letting Go. couldn't ask for a better artist to conjure up that feeling of compassion, reflection, empathy than Taylor McFerrin, right? I mean, his music does all of that.
I totally agree. And he is that. He's just such a great guy. He's such a strong, like, grounded human being. You know, I think he has a pretty strong, you know, lineage that gives him that, for sure, that strength, and that spirituality, that deep spirituality. And just, I don't know how he does it, but just, you know, musically, he can, you know, play the same keyboard that I've played for years, and it's just like this thing comes out, it's just a vibe. He just has, like, just the greatest vibe.
So I guess we're entering into act three of this tale, and I think it begins with the Cuban drummer Lewis Cole. Is that correct?
Yes. So Lewis, this is kind of essentially me calling myself out a little bit on, you know, just going out and going on the prowl again, maybe trying to fill that void with some things that might not be the most healthy.
And it's so. What did you do, Tim Conley?
Well, with the sake of you know, making my mom squirm in her seat if she's listening to this, sorry, Mom. The next track on the record is "Should Have Swiped Left," and if you are a millennial or anything close to a millennial, you'll understand what that means.
You went down the Tinder Pandora box.
Yes. I opened that box. And
you not just opened the box, you swiped right a lot.
You know.
A fair amount.
Enough to figure out what it was about. So that track features the Koreatown Oddity, and he... You know, I told him a very, very personal story, and he turned it around and just, like, came up with some gold. And
give us at least a nugget of this very personal story. Not all the lurid details, perhaps, but something.
Mm-hmm. Meeting someone and who happened to be house-sitting in a giant mansion, you know, in L.A.
Oh, I love these stories.
And basically going and quote unquote, you know, hanging out and having a lovely evening. and a neighbor happened to look in the window because they knew that someone knew that this person was away and that someone was house sitting, and they just wanted to check in and maybe saw some things that they shouldn't have seen. So you know, in a lot of ways, it was a wake up call for me, and again another, like, what are you doing? Like, what is happening? It was one of those moments for sure.
Well, at least you have a good story at the end of the day, made into a song,
right?
Performed by the Koreatown Oddity, best known for his work on Stone's Throw.
Yo, it's the inner voice, he being too polite. He really wish he swiped left when he went right. Shut up, Tim, I'ma tell him how you think. How you think I beg technology where you could meet a freak and search the one up on your date in that feed. Remember that time that you went to the mansion and you boned a chick in the kitchen, and she was supposed to be dog watching the house sitting, but the owner kept calling cause the neighbors was tripping and had a nosy daughter that went mind her business. Okay, relax, I won't talk about that. I just think you should laugh at your past to get past this. Sometimes that helps with the sadness, and I don't want you to keep it bottled. Gotta tell him how you really feel, like he impaled did Obama. You know that one skit we watched where he's like, I feel like this, and he's like, no, president,
no,
you
matter
feel like
the status
this.
On what the options is, it's all about building back up your confidence. So once it returns to that level, don't let it come back down for no shit, because they can make you feel like an unwanted 12 inch on a shelf that sits like John Denver's greatest hits. Play to win, don't cater to them. You have a new hole on your lightsaber again and won't need the force for
for no intercourse. It'll be a done deal, stick in the dinner fork. The ball's in your court and the women is yours. Don't step out of bounds if you're in it for sport, cause too many games you begin to get bored. But just stick to your guns and remember these words, that's really your words, cause I'm only a voice. You know that same voice you've been trying to avoid. You know that same voice you used to say was annoying. I'll be seeing things, you should've came to your boy. We could've sat down and had a heart to heart. I know you think I'll be talking shit and saying smart remarks, but when your mind is lying, I'ma tell you the truth, cause I'm the one feeling that you can't remove. So when you clear your thoughts and change your mood and come to your senses, then you finally be ready to accept this assistance and catch on to this wisdom that you already had. I'm just reminding you that it existed. And snap out of it. Since you started going out again, you have to realize now that you was bound to win. And if you felt like you was kicked when you down, shouldn't you get your ass up off the ground then? Cause that new love feeling is coming back around, Tim. Tim, 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 are you listening?
Tim Conley joins us here on the Checkout. MAST. What does MAST stand for? M-A-S-T. Where did that name come from?
Well, my parents are really avid boaters. So both of them were basically...
Sailors or boaters?
So they would be more boaters, but there was some sailing involved occasionally. So I spent a lot of my childhood...
I'm assuming this is from when you were in Philly.
Yes, growing up, my parents would keep... they had a boat like on the Jersey Shore. So during the summertime, we would kind of live on the boat because they were both teachers, so they had a lot of time off in the summers. So we would just kind of travel up and down, you know, the East Coast, going like these trips. And so, I feel really grateful and blessed to have that experience in my life and you know, learning how to sail and you know, and just kind of be on the water, and it really influenced me musically a lot. But what MAST represents is the music is kind of the wind. You know, the sail is the instrument that catches the wind, and I guess I'm the mast that's holding that sail. So I'm kind of, you know, there holding this instrument that's trying to catch that, the music, trying to catch the energy.
Wow, that's a deep metaphor. That's really cool.
Thanks.
I like that.
I worked on it for a while.
Conley joins us on the Checkout, and we're listening to his recording MAST, So now we enter into Act 3. But first, before we even go here, did everything work out okay? Did she get help? I mean, yes, life can be funny sometimes, and mm-hmm. and we should all laugh at ourselves and, you know, the missteps. But this is heroin addiction is extremely serious. Did she end up getting help, and is everything turning out okay?
Yeah, I'm not in contact with her anymore, for obvious reasons. But I do know that she did end up going to rehab, and I definitely wish her the best. And a more broader kind of way to look at the whole thing, I think that in this country there's, not to get too political, but the way that our healthcare system is set up, you have a lot of pharmaceutical things, you know.
People are addicted to opiates by their doctor.
Right. And that is making other things like heroin just really cheaper and more accessible, and I think that's from what I gather is what happened here. Where you can't get this medicine anymore that these doctors are prescribing, and you're getting addicted to them, and just an easy jump is to just jump into something illegal, in this case heroin.
So now we do move in. We blow into your mask, Tim Conley, into Act 3 of this story.
Act 3 is transcending, is you know, kind of rising above all of this, and getting really back to who you are at a core.
But did your mom know about this relationship and everything?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
She must have been concerned.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have a really great relationship with my parents and my mom, and I told them everything, you know, except for, you know, maybe some of the Act 2. But yeah, so Act 3 is meeting someone new, and in this case, Andre Bell, the singer, and just... You know, it's like kind of like getting hit in the face with like a, you're smacked in the face with like a ton of bricks or something. It's like, you don't think that you're walking around in a cloud until you realize that you just get smacked in the face and you wake up and you're like, holy crap, I was just walking around in a cloud for a really long time. And that's what I feel like happened, is that
she was the bricks.
She was a ton of bricks, just hit me, you know, like a Mack truck. And she's just so strong and spiritual and philosophical, and it just all these amazing things. And on top of it, an amazing singer. And we just, needless to say, just hit it off. And it was like, this is a thing. In a romantic way, you know, I wanted to write that about her and romantically, spiritually, metaphorically, all these things, meeting that new person, falling in love, and just, you know, taking a risk again. That's kind of really what a lot of the record is about, is risk.
Let's listen to Me and You, kind of the opus of the record. You with your new love of your life, Andre Bell.
Many moons we waited. Celestial angel meets devil, breaking down walls, I can't help but fall. Gentlemen are savage, took me by surprise. Overcoming birds and flesh bites, chakras align and magnify. With the way you penetrate my mind, making honey drip down. Intergalactic melody. reverberating of itself out. Swim within textures of a skin. Interweaving love's tapestry. Tie me up till I'm free. Till I'm free. Till I'm free. Till I'm free.
Andre Bell joining Tim Conley on Love and War. We're in the love part, if you guys haven't noticed. She wrote those lyrics?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wrote all the lyrics. And, you know, I love everything that she did.
And does she know this former love or former love interest?
They have never met, but she knows all about it. That's for sure.
I bet. Well, thank you, Tim Conley, for joining us here on The Checkout and telling this very personal, very sensitive story. And thank you for your courage in opening up and talking about this stuff. I'm sure people are interested. And we'll leave everyone with one of your last songs on your recording featuring the drummer from Chicago, Micaiah McCraven, The Liberation. But yeah, sincerely, thank you for sharing and talking about this stuff.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was really fun. You know, I'm not the most open person, and in a lot of ways it's something I definitely thought about a lot, is like, do I really want to do this? Do I want to be this open and out front? I guess in the long run I chose yes, to just kind of go for it. Part of that is to hopefully inspire others to just don't be afraid to take those risks when you've gone through things. Never stop being optimistic, and if you do the work and if you keep, you know, pushing yourself, that there is going to be that shining light at the end of the tunnel.